Hello from the BBC. I'm Alexander Griffiths with a roundup of the latest developments in the war in Ukraine. A convoy of buses is preparing to enter the besieged southern Ukrainian city of Mariupol to rescue trapped residents. Russia agreed earlier to pause its bombardment of the port, but the Red Cross said the evacuation would not start until Friday for security reasons. Our correspondent Wira Davis is in the city of Zaporizhia to the northwest of Mariupol, where the relief operation is being coordinated.
Here in Zaporizhia, the last big city in Ukrainian-held territory in the south, local officials and aid workers are preparing to receive thousands of refugees from Mariupol. Tens of thousands of people are trapped in the port after weeks of fighting and heavy Russian bombardments. Organised by the Ukrainian government in conjunction with the Red Cross, the convoy of 45 buses, supported by medical vehicles, will leave Zaporizhia to collect the evacuees tomorrow, but only if all sides can agree on a 24-hour ceasefire around Mariupol. Previous attempts to establish humanitarian corridors failed after vehicles were attacked on the roads out. A spokesperson for the International Committee of the Red Cross said it was desperately important the operation takes place. The lives of tens of thousands of people in Mariupol depend on it.
Thousands of people have already managed to escape from Mariupol, and many have horrific stories of the siege. One family's told us they were part of a group asked to leave a shelter in order to give children there a chance of survival when food and water started to run out. They also said that pro-Russian residents of the city say it's Ukrainian forces that are responsible for the bombardment. The BBC's Lucy Williamson has been talking to them at a field hospital near Lviv in western Ukraine.
Yevgen's wife, Natalia, tells me they were trapped for weeks in the cinema by Russian attacks, surviving on scraps of food and boiling snow to drink. She says when supplies ran out, everyone without young children was asked to leave to save resources and give the children a chance.
We had a car that was damaged but still working, so we decided to leave the shelter. There was no way out. You stay and die, or you can go and die.
Aside from the tremendous cost in lives in Ukraine, there's been a huge financial impact. The European Bank for Reconstruction and Development says the war in Ukraine will cast a long shadow of economic damage. Richard Galpin has more.
The European Bank for Reconstruction and Development paints a bleak picture for both the Russian and Ukrainian economies as a result of the ongoing war. It says the conflict has caused the greatest supply shock for 50 years, with the Russian economy forecast to shrink by 10% and the Ukrainian by as much as 20%. The bank's chief economist, Beatu Yavorchik, says Ukraine will become a much poorer country even if reconstruction gets underway next year.
Russia's president has been speaking about the economic effects on his country. In a televised address, Vladimir Putin announced that he signed a decree governing the country's exports of natural gas. Mr. Putin said that starting from Friday, foreign buyers must pay for the gas in the Russian currency, the ruble. He said gas supply contracts would be halted if these payments weren't made. Meanwhile, there's been a response to Moscow's announcement about a scaling down of its military operations around Kyiv. The NATO chief, Jens Stoltenberg, said Russia's forces in Ukraine are not withdrawing, but rather repositioning.
Russia is trying to regroup, resupply, and reinforce its offensive in the Donbas region. At the same time, Russia maintains pressure on Kyiv and other cities. So we can expect additional offensive actions, bringing even more suffering.
British and US intelligence say Russia's invasion of Ukraine has been hampered because President Putin is not being given an accurate picture of events on the ground. A British intelligence chief, Jeremy Fleming of GCHQ, said Mr. Putin had massively misjudged the situation in Ukraine.
We've seen Russian soldiers, short of weapons and morale, refusing to carry out orders, sabotaging their own equipment, and even accidentally shooting down their own aircraft. And even though we believe Putin's advisers are afraid to tell him the truth, what's going on and the extent of these misjudgments must be crystal clear to the regime.
There's been no response to this yet from the Kremlin. Those are the latest developments on day 36 of Russia's invasion. I'm Alexander Griffiths at the BBC.